Hello and welcome to the IGTRASpace podcast. My name is Nora Engelbert. Together with Margret Jäger, I'm welcoming you to today's episode for a series on applied anthropology. Margret and I are eager to show experienced team leads, C-levels, and HR representatives the value anthropology brings to the table to help you thrive your business success. Anthropology is about a holistic view on everything that makes us human and on how we as humans perceive and interact with the world. So, anthropology is key for business fields like customer experience, doctor-patient interactions, communication, team building, the intersection of humans and technology like AI, robotics, or any customer interfaces, and for the analysis and differentiation of culture, structure, and technology in organizations and communities. Lean back, listen in, and let yourself be inspired by the stories and insights from our guests here in the IGTRASpace, under the tree of life.
Hello and welcome to our IGTRASpace podcast on applied anthropology. My name is Margret Jäger from Austria, and I'm one of the hosts of this nice project together with my co-host and lovely Nora Engelbert. Hi, Nora.
Hi, Margret.
Our today's episode is talking with Nora, with my special guest, my dear colleague, about her work, because we have already heard about her work once, but she is doing many different things and many interesting things. I'm looking forward to another deep discussion about things you're exploring, things you're developing currently. And let's start with some introduction. Who are you, Nora, for our audience who has not listened to us so far?
Yes, Margret. Thank you for having that idea that we are running one episode on me and my current work. That is wonderful. So thank you. How to introduce myself? I believe currently the most often thing I say is I'm a person who loves the joy of life. And that is what I want to bring to people I meet, people I work with. And for that, we already talked a lot about the methodology I learned a couple of years ago with digitizing collaboration, really, really digitizing it with an anthropological expectation, let's say, of having a holistic approach that actually works.
It's this holistic approach, right, that differs us from other disciplines. And it's something that, of course, we learn soon at the beginning, but we dive deep into until some of us finish it and their PhDs and have lived somewhere else and have worked very deeply on things. How would you explain holistically, thinking holistically, to non-anthropologists?
First of all, Margret, I doubt that we are the only ones. I believe there are many more subjects and especially people who really question the world and want to understand how everything is connected. But yes, it is something anthropology has in its roots from the very beginning because we wanted to understand how a group of people functions, works, lives, and makes sense of life. So we need to look at everything about on life. And in terms of organizational development, I'm working in as project manager, change manager, collaboration coach. Thinking holistically means looking at the entire organization, having the big picture in mind, and considering how the system as such works together. And that is something systemic coaches also do or claim to do. But to me, being an anthropologist, I can say, okay, I put the human being in on the top. And from there, a healthy human being, everything falls into place. And that is what I bring my what I learned myself the hard way, let's say, to not only study it and being in the scientific way of what is a human being, how do we live, what is migration doing, how are people interacting, but I really had to learn the hard way of reminding myself, no, I'm not someone who needs to do a career, or who needs to achieve everything in the project and needs to satisfy the customer all the time and the friends and the parents and everything. But life taught me stop. And with that stop in my life, I had the chance to remind myself what it means to be Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I could prove if I really had understood what I have been studying and teaching in anthropology and in project management and change management. And I can tell you, I passed the exam. Yes.
Wonderful. That's a very inspiring explanation of Holistically. Tell us more about your work as change manager. Probably need to explain what change management or transformation management means to those listeners who are not familiar with the business language.
So when I finished my PhD, I wanted to bring what I've learned into life. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to have an impact with what I do. So most of the world in science or in academia or outside academia is running in projects. So becoming a project manager was just a normal thing to do, or the logical thing to do, and learning how to manage what is important, how to plan, how to coordinate large groups and companies, learning about what a company is. It is different than a university, just a little spoiler.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah, it is, again, like studying a whole country, depending on how big the company actually is, or the corporation, or at least a town. And so that was very similar for me, okay, being an anthropologist, having done my field work. So I approached it very similarly and wanted to make sense of how everything is connected together. And I painted lots of pictures and with the lines and the dotted lines and trying to understand. So in that time, I learned also that the term change manager exists, and that there are organizational development people who are, again, a bit different. And I have traveled the entire journey so far. And the change managers, to me and to all the people in this business world, I consider serious, and they see it like me. Project management and change management goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just like digitizing collaboration goes hand in hand with analog collaboration. So project management is focusing more on the thing aspect, on the factual aspect. Change management is more focusing on the people aspect. So you can bring in a new system, you can bring in a new organizational structure, and everything can be there. And the project management has done everything to bring it there with the technicians and the entire team. But if the people do not adapt to the new normal, the project is not successful.
So it's a lot about organizational culture?
Yes, I'm a bit hesitant with that term, because as you and I might look on culture, it is not really what I found in the business world to what people understand culture is. So in the beginning, I had lots of discussions there. And hey, what you are defining as culture is not culture, because here's a definition of culture. And yeah, that still happens. But I grew old and wise and calmer. So I usually don't engage in these fights anymore. But the understanding of culture from people who don't come from cultural anthropology is a different one, let's say that.
Of course, I imagine. But it sounds like change management involves knowledge about companies' culture. And
it does. It is about the people part. It is about how do people relate to the world? How do we need to bring awareness to the people, what will reach their mind, what will reach their hearts, what will reach their inner attitude to move or to change their perspective, to go maybe a little bit right or a little bit to the left. So it is guidance, it is leadership. And that is how I traveled my journey through different kinds of businesses, different kinds of change projects, being sometimes the project lead, project manager, sometimes the person building up an organization or company, sometimes being just the change manager next to the person being the project lead or the project management officers. So it's a teamwork. And teamwork was actually something I had not learned at university back then. It just started that people were saying we need interdisciplinary teamwork because we need different perspectives. Even the most holistic anthropologist cannot cover everything. So actual teamwork and organizing teams and collaboration was something I wanted to do. But what it means and where the challenges lie, I learned by doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you. At least I have written my PhD on my own, you know, there was no project, bigger one involved. Were you part of the team or where you could observe a principal investigator managing something and managing people? It sometimes comes later. It's more you manage your own things in the field, which also teaches you something. I have a question because I have it from you. So since I know you, I'm thinking about the term and you brought it to my mind first. Like you use a lot the term transformation manager. And I remember you explaining it once to me, but honestly, I've forgotten about it. But I had the feeling that you were putting it like, okay, there is this change management wave, which is probably still going on also, but the transformation is something deeper, probably. Could you explain this to the audience?
Yeah, I haven't looked it up in the textbook, to be honest. And the term transformation is currently, over the last years, losing content more and more, I believe, because everyone is talking about the big transformation and that new work and we want to change everything. And okay, already in the 70s, they were singing the age of Aquarius is coming, but it feels a bit similar at the moment. So there are already people who cannot hear that term transformation manager anymore. But it actually means changing a situation from the now to the future and describing the entire change journey being embedded in a whole big program. That is what is the difference between a change manager in a smaller project context, or you have several managers in a large business transformation, or digitizing an entire company is also then a bigger transformation. So it's more a question of the size, with that also of the skills you need to have. When I have done my training in enterprise architecture, could also call that's a real transformation manager, understanding the architecture of a program, understanding the architecture of an organization, knowing what mindset, what process, what organization, what technology, what kind of information structure need to fit together in a puzzle in what way in order to be in a harmonious and stable forward moving way. And that is something change managers or project managers don't necessarily need because they have a smaller part of moving from A to B. And the bigger transformation is looking more at the entire organizational change.
Okay, thank you for this explanation. Much clearer now to me. Let's continue a little bit probably about your journey until where you stand now and what you're doing now and some points you want to bring to the audience.
Currently, I just came from a meeting with a coachee. To be honest, the biggest transformation for me in my last, let's say, 5 years was from knowing anthropology, knowing how to do field work, knowing how to teach German as a foreign language and communication management, and intercultural communication, enabling people to interact with each other in a foreign context. Then I learned project management, so bringing people from different disciplines together to work towards a common goal. And there I was training people in workshop facilitation, in planning, in writing emails, in all sorts of things. And I learned myself more and more of handling larger initiatives, larger projects, and work myself up on the ladder, let's say. But that was just fast learning. And as I mentioned before, it was more of a painful reminder I went through to really fall back on myself and asking myself, okay, I have done so much, I learned so much, and I connected the dots, but I lost myself in all of that. So my 30s were also pretty much about finding myself again and putting the puzzle pieces together in a different order. And I have done that via founding my own company, Yggdrasil. Hey, here we are. And I was focusing on stories because that is what, to me, anthropology is about. I love doing the interviews with the elderly people, first from Italy and Turkey, and then only Turkey, and went to Turkey. It reminded me of all the stories my grandmother has told me or my first teacher has told us. So to me, being human is living in stories. And living via stories and creating stories and changing the world with the stories we create, with the reality we create. And so that is where we started, having people under the tree, the Yggdra tree in the Yggdra space, sharing their stories, sharing their ideas of how they want to change the world or what they want the world to be like. And it was in that time that I have found more and more courage and also took the time to develop my own methods, my own products, my own seminars again, because being in the corporation from early morning 7 till late 7 or more, I didn't have time for teaching. I didn't have time for creative work. That is why I founded Yggdrasil, to return to creativity, to return to people and creating a space and time for that connection. This craving for creativity, the craving for connection, and the craving for becoming self-efficient, is that the word? So having impact again and feeling that I am creating meaning, something meaningful, that is what was driving me. And that is the basis of what I now bring to people in my work, in the projects I work in, as well as in the seminars I give and in the coachings I give. And I always wanted to become a coach and work closely with people in one-on-ones. But in order to do that, I learned, okay, I don't just need the education to be a coach, but I also need this deep connection with myself. Because if I hadn't, or when I didn't have that deep connection, because I haven't done my inner work, I was not able to hold the space for the people I work with. And to me, that is a prerequisite for being a good coach.
Thank you for these words.
So that is something new. So you could say now I'm also transformation coach or collaboration coach. Yes.
Thank you, Nora. This is means a lot to me, because at the end of the day, at least currently in Austria, coaching is like everybody calls himself a coach nearly, you know? And there are so many different types of education for it, and it's not a protected profession, and it also can be dangerous for people, you know? If you as a coach don't have your own reflexivity and you are stable and you can put people in danger. And I think it's so anthropologically listening to you, because you mentioned storytelling. It is us, you know, we can't talk without using a story. We are anthropologists. I remember some years ago when this wave came up in marketing and storytelling. You need to tell a story to sell a product or whatever, you know, or your services. And I started just laughing. It was like, yeah, you found us now, you know, storytelling. Yeah, we do this so long.
Yeah, that's the same with change management.
Yeah.
When I was told I should become a change manager, should start in company XY first, it was an interview for a senior change manager, and they were saying, what do you know about storytelling and how do you use it in your project management? And I was giving an example, but apparently it was not what the person wanted to hear, and I didn't get the job. But it felt strange to me, and it was a beginning when I realized, okay, we might use the same words, but we still live in completely different worlds.
Yeah, we do. But we have the skills, and anthropology teaches us, you know, to be able to tell stories. Because just a very simple example, when I teach in healthcare or when I teach healthcare professionals, I often get half stories because they were attending a patient, but then their shift ended and they left. And they never asked again what happened to the patient, even if it were severe problems. So I get those half stories. I get a super interesting patient story and suddenly it cuts off. And then you ask them, and what happened afterwards? And do you know if the person survived? And in 99%, they answer, oh, no, I've not thought about to ask when I came back. And, oh, no, I don't know. Because it's so daily business for them that they are used to these half-told stories. But for teaching, you would need them completely told. And I also imagine if you are doing a whole transformation process in a company and you after want to use that story, you need to tell the whole story and not stop at three quarters and oh, then I left and I don't know what happened afterwards. Sounds so awkward, you know, because we have learned to tell stories from the beginning to the end and create meaning out of it. And how can I create meaning out of something if I don't tell the whole story?
And that is one of the challenges of arriving in the business world, learning to be more comfortable or at least accepting that you will not often have the chance to be part of the entire story.
I imagine it's the thing with the medical stories. I just take notes of all of them and I use them and I tell to my students the same that the health professionals tell to me. I don't know how it ended. And this is life. You don't know always how it ends because things move on. Wonderful. Nora, would you have, I know, I'm sure you have kind of a final message, some learning or something you want to share as a take-home message to our listeners?
I remember that before we started, you wanted me to tell about the method I have developed while founding IKTRASpace, and I'm applying now at the moment. It's quite of a fun story because it really shows my personal transformation in a very good way and showing, yes, she found herself finally. Because I have called the method Aaron, which always reminds me of this one way I am looking at a thing doesn't have to be the only way. Sometimes the solution lies in turning things upside down or changing the perspective 180 degree. Because what does Aaron mean? It means Nora backwards.
Didn't notice that.
And so it's like, yes. But it also describes the method itself, because project management is, okay, you have a certain goal and you want to get there, make a plan how to get there. That's a classical way of doing it. Or you just know something needs to change. You need something new, but you don't know how it looks like yet. And that is then the agile way of doing it. And the second one is what we in anthropology usually do. And then what you still have is you analyze. You start orienting yourself. Yes. And then you build, if you know at least part of the destination, you can create a roadmap. So we have the A and the R. Then you optimize. You have a bit of more orientation, you optimize, and then you navigate and you build connecting dots. So you have a network. So with that, you have the O and the N. So that's the simple part of making project management. Okay, you are lost, analyze, make your roadmap, optimize it while you're on the road and navigate your way through it and connecting and building a network. But on the second, it also means the A stands for Anthropos. So it again is what I said in a bit earlier. Start with the man in the mirror or the woman. So I start with myself. If I'm not satisfied with the world, first I look inside myself and see what is not in harmony, where is an irritation with my inner world and the outer world. Then I see, can I change something? Usually the first thing I can change is myself, my inner attitude towards it, thinking, oh, there is no solution, there's only this, and I'm paralyzed, I cannot move, I'm trapped. And that is often an illusion. And we find in ourselves usually a lot of space we haven't discovered before. In there, we find ways, we find ideas, we have our creativity. So that is also the A, the Anthropos part.
That sounds very inspiring. Thank you.
The R then on that level is for relationship or the resonance with the outer world. So again, a connection with ourselves first, then with the outer world. Then you have the O, and the O again stands for orientation and can also be, depending on where you want to go, the orbit. The N is, again, for networking, for the relationship part. And having these two layers of first turning around, so making from Nora and Aaron, then start on the one level with the human, then the relationship, and then you let it flow into the network or in the orbit and building networks. And the other level is the more scientific, rational level. Analyze, roadmap, optimization, navigation, networking. That's it. It's not complicated. It's easy. I can work in creative ways with that, and I can work in analytical ways with that, and can start a collaboration on a holistic approach with people and learn new things. And so that is what co-creation is for me. Having one part, going inside, resonating with the other, going in connection, and then something new arises. And that's what I do.
How wonderful. Thank you very much. If anybody wants to read about that, is there any chance that people could read about it or listen to you also talking about this somewhere else?
Good question. Of course, I have on the website of the ikraspace.org site still my blog. And I started on my business website, noraengelbert.de, my business blog. But I need to be more consistent in writing. And currently with the wonderful Barbara Bosch, I'm doing a keynote speaker boot camp. And yes, she is encouraging us a lot in our in the group that we go out there and send our message and share. So that is what I'm doing more and more now.
Wonderful. And I wish you all the best luck in the world that this work like gets multiplied and you can bring new energies to teams and joy to people in working together. Thank you very much for being my guest today, Nora. Dear listeners, thank you for listening to our podcast and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast is produced in collaboration with the Applied Anthropology Network of the European Association of Social Anthropologists. Thank you for listening in and being with us today. If you wish to learn more about us or our guests, please check on the ICTRA Space website, www.ictra-space.org/en, or contact us directly via info@ictra-space.org. We are happy to answer your questions and to hear your thoughts on the value anthropology has or could have for your daily work. Looking forward to sitting with you again next episode in the ICTRA space under the Tree of Life.